This is Friday Sport on North Sound 1.
Here's McGinn coming forward for Aberdeen. Nice ball to Hayes, who's very central, but he's got a bit of space. He tries to shot!
Oh, yes! Yes!
What a strike! Johnny Hayes!
Oh, what a goal!
40 minutes played. Forster's record goes west. Aberdeen 1, Celtic 0.
Welcome in the next 60 minutes. Everything you need for a complete weekend of sporting action ahead. Tonight, defeat to delight in less than 72 hours. A look back at the week that was and ahead to that tie tomorrow.
This is Friday Sport on North Sound 1 with John Mellis, Dave McDermott and Dave Galloway.
It's 6:05, and first, as always, to Pittodrie, where the good news has been in ready supply since Tuesday night's win over Celtic. Here's how it happened in full with the boys on Red TV.
Celtic in defence, giving that one away now. Rooney bounces onto that one. What can he do with this? Gives it to Pollock. Pollock into the penalty box. He's tripped right on the edge of the area by
Ricard, yes!
By Van Dijk, and he's off. Here's McGinn coming forward for Aberdeen. Nice ball to Hayes, who's very central, but he's got a bit of space. He tries to shot!
Oh, yes! Yes!
What a strike! Johnny Hayes!
Oh, what a goal!
40 minutes played.
Pick that
Forster's one record goes west. Aberdeen 1, Celtic 0. McGinn plays that one into the middle. Rooney!
Oh, yes!
Oh, yes!
Yes!
Magnificent!
Adam Rooney! Absolutely fantastic ball into the middle. Rooney with a header, his fifth of the season, and he's short Aberdeen's spell on his home debut. It's Aberdeen 2, Celtic 0. Back in again by Griffiths it goes. Brown trying to line up the shot, and it's put into the net. Celtic get a goal back, and it's Forrest on as substitute with a smart snapshot from about 12 yards. Gets it into the net. 16 minutes gone in the second half. Game back on. Aberdeen 2, Celtic 1.
It's all over.
Yeah!
The Dons have spoiled Celtic's unbeaten record. Fraser Foster's record goes. They've absolutely nothing to play for the rest of the season. The Dons stay second. They've consolidated in second. Wonderful performance. Final score here on Red TV in association with North Sound 1. Aberdeen 2, Celtic 1.
Imagine cheering when someone gets awarded a red card. And even worse, imagine shouting, Rooney, like a fan.
Lowering the tone.
during the commentary. What a bounce. And the good news keeps on coming. With the announcement today, Mark Reynolds has extended his Pittodrie contract.
He really enjoys living here. He enjoys working here. He has got such an affection for the club. And you know, he sees his long-term future here, and obviously he was already tied for a couple of years anyway, but I think it's a good message, just reinforces, you know, the long-term plan and what we're trying to do. Like I say, it wasn't something that was a need to do, but I think it was something that we both wanted to do, and again, it's a recognition for me of how well he's done. I think we'd all agree that he's been a real steady performer for us, you know, and I think he's got a lot of attributes that complement the team, and I think he brings pace to it. I think he brings experience. I think he's a good type, you know, in day-to-day business at work. He works extremely hard and a good professional, and someone that the players look up to, and he's a good teammate as well. So, I mean, there's a lot to have Mark Reynolds here long-term. You know, I think it's for me, it's just another building block in what we want to do going forward.
The manager kind of pulled us in a couple of weeks ago and kind of made the suggestion to me that there would be a year there if I wanted to sign it, and obviously that he was trying to build a team for the future and a team that was going to enjoy a sustained period of success, and to do that he had to tie down the players that he was wanting to have for the future. So it was nice that he kind of obviously seen me as part of his long-term plans and something that he wants to build within a team. So when it was suggested to me, I was more than happy. Obviously, having the 3.5 years left, I'd already committed a large portion of my future, and to extend that by a year, I was more than happy. Aberdeen's been a great fit for me, kind of professionally and privately as well. I mean, my family's happy here. We're very settled. We love the city, and on the field, we're starting to enjoy the success that was always evident and was always kind of going to come to Aberdeen. And the manager's building a team that wants to have success and that will hopefully enjoy success in the future. And I don't think we don't want it to be a flash in the pan season. We don't want this just to be a season that everybody looks back on to remember 1 year in Aberdeen's history. We want this to be a period where over the next 4 or 5 years Aberdeen is a successful club and is up doing what Aberdeen should be doing.
Evening, you're on North Sound 1's Friday Sport. Joining me as always, Dave McDermott and Dave Galloway. Where to start? I suppose if we do it Partick then Celtic, you know that the tale of the weekend's well. So, first of all, the Partick game, really, Dave, a timely reminder that an occasion we can still be that team that helps others break their own hoodoo. What went wrong?
I think the penalty was a huge turning point. If we'd scored that at that time at Thistle, we're looking really nervous at the back. We were well on top. We should have definitely had a second penalty. And in the first half, we were by far the better team. But fair play to Thistle. They came out in the second half and the manager admitted we probably went a bit gung-ho too early. And paid the price. But I must admit, when Adams scored to make it 2-1 immediately after they'd gone 2 up, I thought, here we go, we're going to win this. But we didn't. We're not the finished article. Nobody's pretending that we are. And it perhaps was a wee reminder maybe to some of the fans, not all of the fans, because I think most fans are pretty realistic, and certainly not to Derek or the team, because they know that we're not good enough to think that we can just go out there and beat everybody. But I think it was maybe not the worst in terms of just giving that wee reminder. And it's all about how you respond, and again, we know what happened again.
I mean, we've watched Aberdeen for years and years. You've watched them for far longer than I have. But we do always
wonder why that is.
We do always seem, in previous seasons anyway, to have been that team that, you know, I remember Dundee United coming up and they hadn't won a game in forever. They came up and played us in what was a terrible game of football and got that first win and then went on a run of their own.
Yep.
We seem to be that team, or we have been in the past, and this was that coming back to visit us just for a day.
Just for a day. And as I say, every poor result we've had this season, we've bounced back, yep. We've learned from it, and I think that's the important thing, and I think that's what also is impressing the fans, that this bunch of players have got a real backbone about them, and there's just something about a determination, character, call it what you will, that is going to get them through more often than not.
Yeah, a lot of guts and credit for coming out of that result into a Celtic game where there was always going to be a determination on Celtic's part, Dave Galloway, to prove that the cup result that we had over them was a blip. Coming out winning with the goals that we did showed a lot of character, I thought. First question, was the red card correct? Because Neil Lennon, as you'll hear later, thinks that it wasn't. So was it a red card?
Oh, of course it was. It was as obvious and clear-cut a red card as you could hope to see. And I've seen countless replays. I've seen them in slow motion. I've seen the freeze-frame shots. I've seen the incident from every conceivable angle. And it was an absolute definite, nailed on red card. The referee got it spot on.
I can tell you the sort of suggestion from back shop in terms of Celtic personnel. There's always a lot of Celtic personnel, isn't there? Whenever they visit,
the suggestion. Some fairly mean-looking bodyguards.
I know.
As well.
That's who I'm talking about. The suggestion, you know, from a couple of people that were behind the scenes was that they thought perhaps it wasn't a red card because he was moving away from goal at the time and therefore not posing a goal threat.
Well, he's going into the area at pace. If that doesn't pose a goal threat, I'm not
and
really sure what
he was clearly the last player. If that tackle hadn't come in, he was straight through on the keeper.
Look, don't complain.
And again, it's Peter's pace that again, same as with Jemba Jemba
Peter
down at Seymour.
Paul,
sorry,
and I just found it because you know the Celtic backroom staff that we know, you know, they were. You know, they're great at the end of the game. But Neil Lennon, again, just very lack of class in terms of his reaction after the game. Very disappointing, but sadly not really surprising.
You could actually see Neil Lennon. There was a look on his face during that post-match press conference where it suddenly clicked, I've gone too far in slagging off Aberdeen. And he started backtracking and saying, oh, Derek's done a great job here and stuff like that. He just sort of suddenly realised, because he sneered when a newspaper journalist asked him, do you welcome the additional challenge from Aberdeen? And he just said, challenge? 21 points of a gap? And I thought, nah, that's not good.
Couple of great goals, I thought, which you wouldn't have seen in any TV clips, but resulted in Fraser Forster booting the ball clean over the top of the stand and discussed it full time. Did you see that?
Yeah, I heard about that because... yeah.
Because the ball's still orbiting the air.
Well, somebody had won the match ball, so there was a big
and the
chase into
the
car
park.
Yeah. But, yeah, that was...
Bit of petulance, but
indeed.
As for the goals, a good time for our poll. Before we check in with you, let me ask the guys, is Johnny Hayes a goal against Celtic Aberdeen's goal of the season so far?
It's up there. It must be in with a shout. And if Willow Flood quite rightly won goal of the month for January, I think doesn't win goal of the month for February, then I will eat my hat. Fortunately, I don't have one.
I would think it's a stick on for that. But I actually don't know if it's a goal of the season. I'm thinking of Willows against Hibs. Michael Hector scored a peach as well. A couple of goals in the semi against St Johnstone were good. Peter Pollitt's against Celtic in the cup.
Great build-up.
Yeah. And loads of others, which is greatly pleasing. But what do you think? The subject of our weekly poll in Aberdeen Mad is Johnny Hayes' screamer against Celtic Aberdeen's goal of the season so far. It's pretty one-sided, to say the least. I checked this afternoon. Do you have it in front of you there?
Yeah, I've just refreshed right now. Yes, 96.6%.
Yeah. Kenzie 316 adds, by miles, not only because the hit was amazing, but due to the fact to put Celtic in their place. Ale, I think it's a goal of the season, not just the goal of our season. Kingdom Red, best goal since Willows won in January. Both should be up there as goal of the season, in my opinion. 67 Super Don, we've had our share of class goals this season. Michael Hector and Niall against Partick Thistle. Johnny in the semi was a beaut, and there are many more. Willows was undoubtedly a screamer, but Johnny's goal on Tuesday fell into the unstoppable category. Get in there. That one was for Clarkie. Come on, you Reds. Sheep on Fire, who could probably sell that username, I would think, and says, great goal and probably the best strike of the season, but for me, due to the bounce and atmosphere, it has to be Peter Pollitt's goal in the semi. Dandy Two Stars, Hayes was miles offside and Celtic weren't ready when he actually hit the ball. So that's a no from Lenny.
What?
Dawn of the Dead, I personally think it's one of the best goals I've ever seen at Pittodrie. Doubt we'll see a sweeter strike all season. And finally, with Dandy Two Stars again, official comedian of this thread, best strike since the Cadbury workers walked out in 1973. As well as we played in that first half, the second half, of a nail biter. Was that just down to Celtic upping the ante?
Yeah, I think it was. Speaking to a few of the players, and they were saying they were desperately trying to not be forced back and defending too deep. But it was only really when Russell came on that he played a real captain's part and actually brought the line up a wee bit. But I think we'd started off the second half pretty well, first 10-15 minutes. Yep. But fair play to Celtic. For a while, they looked as though they had the extra man, not us. But again, the bottom line is we won the match. We held out and we won the match. They're champions for a good reason. They were obviously hurting big style. So in the past that would have been a game that
it's great, isn't it?
I know, it's brilliant.
it's tremendous.
In the past we would have had to settle for a draw in matches like that under that much pressure.
We
could actually have ended up scoring a third late on when Niall had a good chance on the break.
Now, in a minute, on to tomorrow's match against St Johnstone, another team with a point to prove against the Dons following a cup defeat. We'll hear from the boss and Mark Reynolds on that game in just a sec. Our team of Dave McDermott and Andrew Shiney and Dave Galloway, again, they're in place to describe the action and berate the ref on Red TV. But nothing...
Who would do that? It's Willie Collum.
Nothing beats...
Oh, aye.
Nothing beats the big game atmosphere live. If you'd like to be there, here's your chance right now. Get in the draw for a pair of tickets so that Unipal can go to the game on us. All you have to do is name any of the scorers in the Dons 4-0 win over St Johnstone in the League Cup semi-final. Any of the scorers from that game, please. You've got, what, three to choose from? Our number is Aberdeen 400-969-01224, 400-969. Any of the scorers in that 4-0 Cup win at Tynecastle. Good luck.
North Sound 1 with the best preview of the weekend's sport action across the northeast of Scotland and beyond. This is Friday Sport.
It's Aberdeen versus St Johnstone tomorrow afternoon. Don's boss, Derek McInnes, again.
I think the players have shown real consistency over the campaign, and certainly in the last 3 months or so, a lot of good results. And obviously, we're disappointed the result last week, but in the main, it's difficult to be too critical. If we show the same consistency as we've shown this season and to the end of the season, then I'm sure we'll finish high up the table and we'll be pleased with our efforts. But the challenge is to keep doing that not lose track of that, not to lose focus on that, and just keep going all the way to the end of the season and hopefully we can achieve those results that everybody's looking for.
Got to get your thoughts on the demand for cup final tickets. A massive response so far from the fans. big, big queues outside just now for the football special train. I mean, what were your thoughts on the way the Red Army's really been gripped by this kind of cup fever?
Yeah, it's fantastic. You know, obviously we've seen the queues, and it's good for the players to see that, you know, that... I think there's a real kind of energy coming. I thought the Pittodrie was brilliant the other night against Celtic. You know, it was a real atmosphere, and you know, you can see the team, the players really thriving on that level of atmosphere. I think the support, believe in the team, and that for me is the biggest, the most pleasing thing of everything this season. I think there's a belief from the support, a togetherness from the support and the players, a good bond there, and but the fact that they're turning out in huge numbers, as we expected, but it's people still putting money in their pocket to come and see us home and away. And to see the queues outside at Pittodrie is fantastic. So it's something that the players should be pleased with. But we know to keep them there and keep these queues coming, we're going to have to keep performing. Hopefully we can do that.
It's going to be a tough game. I think the last game obviously was the semi-final, and I think any team coming off the back of that is always going to want to come and set that straight and get a bit of revenge. And I think St Johnstone have played some nice football this season. They've got good players, they've got goals in their team, and they play some nice football. So it's going to be a tough game, but I think it's been tough games all year for us, and every team that's came to Aberdeen or anywhere we've went on our travels, it's always been a tough game, and they've always upped their game. And Aberdeen has become, and it's a backhanded compliment, but Aberdeen's become a bit of a scalp to take this season, and we just need to keep going and just keep getting 3 points. And it's almost become a bit of a mantra for us this season that we're just going to take it one game at a time. But that's what we've done, and that's what stood us where we are just now. So we'll keep doing that, and we'll treat St Johnstone with the respect they deserve, and get another 3 points, which is important for us staying second in the league.
Yeah, they do pose a good attacking threat, the likes of Stevie May, Stephen McLean. I guess you're relishing going head-to-head with the likes of that pair.
No, well, I mean, you want to play against the best players in the league, and you want to play them on their best day. I think you don't get as much enjoyment playing a game and coming off the back of it, and all the press and all the fans are talking about was you caught them in an off day, or they weren't at the races. And for us, it's getting teams coming here, playing good football, and us being at our best and taking the 3 points, so people can go away talking about how good an Aberdeen team that we are, and how we deserved the result, and we got it because we played better football, not because we were the only team to turn up.
In fairness, I don't think in our wildest dreams we thought we were going to win that semi-final 4-0 going in, but, well, you probably did, Dave.
No, that's...
No, did you say 5?
I said 2-0, if I remember rightly.
Since then, Saints have been going pretty well. They want to show that they're a better team than the scoreline suggested that day. Any chance of a slip-up?
I hope not.
We said that last week,
yeah,
as well.
Yeah, exactly. As I say, we learnt from that. The players will pick themselves up. You'd hope it would be a good crowd tomorrow after Tuesday's result. And it's also the last league game before we switch back into cup mode again for a couple of weeks. So, I don't think there'll be personally, I don't think there'll be a slip up at all.
Okay, let's get on to the teams then. Predicted Derek time. These are the 11 men that you think will start for the Dons against Partick Thistle tomorrow afternoon. And Dave the Elder, Dave McDermott.
Langfield, Logan, Anderson, Reynolds, Considine, Pollitt, Flood, Robson, Hayes, McGinn, Rooney.
Kind of picks itself for you just now.
Still again, you know, the Russell missed out midweek. I think we're going to see more of that when the midweek games come, which we've got a few of them coming up in the next few weeks. You know, again, you've got the choice to choose between Shea or Joe at right back. So, and again, he may go the other way, but that's my team.
Alan Tate briefly actually came in on
Tuesday
night. I
thought he did
Tuesday
fantastically
night.
Well.
Steady job.
What I didn't realise until I saw him spray this pass, I don't know how many yards from right to left, he's got an excellent eye for a decent ball. I mean, yeah. I know you expect that from a footballer, but he really does.
We mentioned it was a World Cup pass.
It was, wasn't it? Yeah.
Because
yeah.
It was about 40 yards yeah. diagonal yeah. and... To Johnny Hayes, if I remember rightly, yeah. and Johnny just brought it down brilliantly as well. So
yeah, but
that was our Barcelona moment for the evening.
He can that's a Barcelona moment for the season. He can pick out a pass, that's for certain. Yes, Dave Galloway, your team.
Exactly the same as Dave the Elder's, but in a 4-2-3-1 formation.
I see. The one to watch, the man who will potentially make a difference, the result for the Dons.
Adam Rooney, for me, he's... showing just what a poacher he is. Took his goal so well on Tuesday night, right between Ambrose and Mulgrew, and just peeled off. They were like statues.
And so was Foster, actually, at that point.
And a great ball from Niall McGinn. Yeah. Niall's maybe not scored for a few weeks, but he had an assist in both of the goals. So, but Adam Rooney is my one to watch.
Well done for not actually bursting into Rooney. Dave
I was tempted.
You're one to watch.
I'm going to go for Niall McGinn, John. Dave just said, he was superb against Celtic. I thought set up both the goals. There's a lot more to his game than just sticking the ball in the net, and he's being played in a different position. But I think he's had a really good season, and some people have been a bit hard on him. They're just looking at, oh, he's only scored nine goals so far this season, but he contributes an awful lot to the team.
And a scoreline for the match: Aberdeen versus St Johnstone. We'll stay with you, Dave Galloway.
I will go for Aberdeen 3, St Johnstone 0.
Dave Mack. Oh no.
3-0. He's written it down. He wrote it down. Yeah.
Just for future reference, countdown moments on the radio don't really work very well.
Indeed,
I have the same thing here. I think 3-0 as well, actually, but that's probably
we're all in agreement.
Fitted it beyond doubt. Now,
here's the van to come to take us away now.
We'll get on to the other games in just a minute. First, let's do the topic for this week entitled Final Tickets 2, and started by SMSW, who posted this time last week. Season tickets going well today, also just 24 off the 9,000 mark. Dave's got your thoughts, is that
one? Yeah, it was actually difficult to take one so we could repeat on air. But we'll start with the Stooge. Just took my wee boy in to get his and his mum's tickets. I'll be away with work, so can't go myself. Ben is 5 months old, but still needed an official seat and ticket purchased. Seems a bit of a waste, given he's not going to be in the seat at all. Surely better off going to someone who'll use it.
5 months old and he's just going to his first game. Call himself a supporter.
Yes, he was a late starter. Sly Fox, I'm going down on the Perth supporters bus as I usually drive or train it. I wasn't sure what the setup was. Two buses going from Perth, both almost full. A grand day out, and I'm sure it will be. Redhammer 88, yeah, we have 3 season tickets and there's 6 of us going, meeting up with 5 others, and there's 1 season ticket holder between them, so that tells you everything. In our party of 6, one's a Cali fan. Ooh, boo, hiss. Here's
it could be tied to the back of the bus on the way up the road, couldn't it?
Here's hoping you won't be celebrating. Indeed. 05 car, when you see the seating plan and you visualise it, a full sea of red, a tumult of dandies taking over the gyrodome. The heart swells with pride. Exterminator 75, someone here suggested Inverness would get a bit of a fright when they saw the amount of our fans there. I fear it will have the opposite effect. It's Derek and Tony's job to make sure we get the Dons that beat Celtic and not the Dons that played last Saturday to turn up. Chill Scott, getting nervous now. Just booked my flight home and get digs sorted, but I have to wait until general sale for tickets. Reminds me of the last time we lifted the cup. There was a postal strike. I was ticketless. Luckily, I managed to buy tickets outside the ground from one of the supporters' buses. Could do without reliving that hassle again, though the result was worth it in the end.
Absolutely. And is Stephen Glass's man of the match bike?
The bike arrived, yes. Mal was... Mal picked the bike up. It's in great... You'll see it tomorrow. We're actually working out how to get it. We're going to get it in the shop. It's in fantastic condition. It's really been looked after. We are, of course, still raffling the bike. AFC Heritage, www.afcheritage.org, and you can just follow the instructions on the front page. £5 a ticket, and you can have the chance to win a real piece of AFC history.
This is in case you're not up to speed on this, this is
everybody
from...
must know about the bike.
Come on, where have you been, folks?
Mal and a bike on a Friday night. This is This is the bike that was awarded to the man of the match. From the 1995 Coca-Cola League Cup final.
Or as Roy used to call it, the Coca-Cola
Cup. Yeah. And I think they must have been having an ideas brainstorming meeting at Coca-Cola, and they thought, right, well, people are going to say...
Not a very good one.
Yeah, but people are going to say it's a sugary drink. We need to come up with something that is...
Healthy.
So the bike idea was born.
Yep.
And there are photos that you can go and look up,
with
Google them.
Stephen looking completely bemused, being handed this bike, and the rain pouring down.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, that bike has been sitting in a shed in his father-in-law's shed?
Father-in-law's house in Montrose, but it's been well looked after. It's been lovingly polished and kept. One day, this bike.
That day is yours, it's lad. Like Granville's bike from Open Allowers. So anyway, this bike is now has pride of place somewhere in Pittodrie. And
it's underneath the stairs, actually, at the moment, so it's not pride enough. Of place just yet.
And it could be yours if you go on to afcheritage.org. It's a £5 entry, and obviously get your unique number, and then the raffle is made nearer the League Cup
final.
The Friday
before the final, yes.
And all
money raised, Stephen wanted to put it back to youth development because he came through the youth system and he's now working in Arizona with kids over in the States.
Fantastic gesture. Yep. And are the tyres pumped up so you can cycle home if you want to?
Yeah, Mal was having a go at reception last night. Unfortunately, he crashed. But the bike wasn't damaged, thankfully. We weren't bothered about Mal.
If you'd like to get involved in our polls or topics, then please do. I'm exercising enormous restraint not to jump in with a million punchlines at this point.
Yes.
From around midweek onwards, in any given week, you'll find them at Aberdeen Mad. Then hear some of your chat on the show at the weekend, right here on North Someone's Friday Sport. We're previewing Aberdeen versus St Johnstone in the Scottish Premiership tomorrow, and we'll look at the rest of the Premiership matches in just a moment.
North Sound 1, keeping you up to date with the latest from Pittodrie, Balmoor and across the Highland League. This is Friday Sport.
To the other matches in a second week in a row for Dundee United to open the weekend's fair with a Friday night fixture. They travel to Easter Road to face Terry Butcher's Hibs. He's a fan of Friday night football.
It gives you a nice Saturday and Sunday to look back upon what you've done on a Friday. It's a great weekend if you win, of course, and when you win. We certainly want to make it a great weekend for our fans and a good 3 points to keep on climbing the table. So, yes, I do like it.
We scored 3 again last Friday. We're looking to go and score more goals again this Friday. You know, because when we're on song, we're a good side and the goals are coming from different areas, which is good.
Terry Butcher and Jackie McNamara of Dundee United. Hibs versus Dundee United, Dave.
Well, I'm going home to watch it, so obviously...
You think.
Yeah, this is true, because BT Sport, which only is out, we've only got one telly out of the lot, so I could be ousted.
Yeah.
I'm going to go for 2-2.
2-2, a draw. Celtic take on John Hughes and Vaness with the records tarnished that they were after yesterday, marking 20 years since Fergus McCann rescued the club. They'll do anything for a start at this point, won't they? Neil Lennon, meanwhile, appealing Virgil van Dijk's red card against the Dons.
We appeal because we think it's worthy of an appeal, so we'll see what the outcome of that will be. You just never know these things. It's not like we're wasting anybody's time on it. You know, we feel we have a decent case to answer.
Stand by, Yogi fans. Big John looking for his boys to strut.
When you go to Celtic Park, it either works two ways. You get phased and it affects you, or it inspires you and you put that strut in your, you know, that in your stride and you say, I want to come and play on this platform. I want to play against the best players in Scotland.
Who's got the theme from Saturday Night Fever in their heads right now? I've got a strut. Celtic versus Inverness, Dave Galloway.
He's great value, Yogi Hughes. I was going to say the petted lip that... Lennon had there, you could have used it as a springboard, couldn't you?
Well, a springboard to a platform for Big Yogi.
Unbelievable. It can only be a Celtic win, and I take them to win 3-0.
Motherwell in another mini crisis, a couple of bad results in the bounce, but they've got a habit of then bouncing back. Hearts' Gary Locke hoping it's not going to happen against his team.
Yeah, you know, there's 11 to go, and we've got to keep believing, you know. Big game's coming up, so we've just got to try and win as many as we can, and we'll see where it takes us.
Smacks a little bit of Paul Hegarty or Roy, you know, 33 points to play
for. Yeah, I was waiting for the 33 with 11 games. I knew the three times table off by heart that season.
Motherwell versus Hearts. Dave?
Yeah, I think Motherwell will take the points with a 3-1 victory.
Ross County are home to Partick Thistle. Jack Scott Patterson looking to capitalise on the good feeling from that first home win last week.
Boys have got to take confidence from that performance on Saturday. But not just Saturday, I think the few games before that as well, the form's been really good. Performance have been good, but just haven't been getting that wee bit of luck or the result. But a lot of confidence going into Saturday's game. And hopefully we'll come away back down the road with 3 points.
Ross County versus Partick Thistle, Dave Galloway.
Ross County, Partick, that's an interesting one. If Partick Thistle can play the way they did for a large chunk of the second half against Aberdeen, they'll have no problems. I fancy Partick Thistle to win 3-1.
St Mirren take on Kilmarnock. Danny Lennon swallowing his pride after a touchline bust-up with Derek Adams last weekend when he could so easily have ended up swallowing his own teeth.
You know, I'd like to take this opportunity in terms of, you know, reservedly apologising to Derek Adams and his staff and, you know, more so my own supporters, you know, for their manager getting into a bit of controversy with the officials and being cited for that. So, you know, it's part and parcel of the game.
Poor Danny reservedly apologising. And it sounded like a sniper was trying to come out halfway through that, didn't it? Kilmarnock's Alan Johnson knows it's difficult when results aren't going your way.
It's difficult. It's how the players, our players, handled it really well. Because after about 10 games, we hadn't won a game. And then you look at the way they've responded to that. And that's what you're looking for. And there's got to be an improvement as well as the season goes on. And I think we've done that.
Saints versus Kilmarnock. Dave Galloway.
Saints, Killy, that's an interesting one. Killy, I think, are definitely on the up and up. St Mirren, you just never know what you're going to get with them, do you? I take Kilmarnock to win 2-0.
This is North Sunderland's Friday Sport. We've got rugby and more football, which is first. A full preview of the games elsewhere. As we turn our attention to Balmore and Jim McAnally, Scotland's League 2, Peterhead at home to East Stirling tomorrow before a table topper against Annan on Tuesday evening. Here's Jim.
Annan always had a game in hand, and especially when it's against the bottom team, you know that there's a good chance that they're going to get the 3 points. And we had a tough away game on Saturday at Albion Rovers, and we can only look after ourselves, to be honest. And we looked after ourselves okay last Saturday, and basically between now and the end of the season, that's all we can do is just make sure that we're okay. If we keep up the level of consistency that we have done, then it'll be a struggle for anybody to catch us, and that's the only way we can look at it. And, you know, if somebody said to me that with 11 games to go, you'd be 5 points clear, played the same amount of games, I would be delighted.
Yeah, he's in the driving seat, all right. Good for Peterhead. In the Highland League, Devon Vale's match against Baroda Rangers, Fermanagh United's game against Nairn, Huntley's fixture against Clack, all postponed. Being added to that list, and no doubt they're actually quite thankful of this, Wick would have had the longest trip in the world down the A9 and then the A82 to face Fort William, but that's been added to the fixture pile-up cancellation list as well. In the reigning games, Inverary Locos host Lossiemouth, Forest are at Keith, Rothes host Bucky Jags, Fraserburgh take on Turriff United, and Kevin Tindall's Cove Rangers at Strathspey Thistle.
They're a much changed side, and you can see how well they've improved. They brought a lot of boys in recently, so it's a place where it's difficult to go now, so we'll have to be prepared to work hard and do things in the right manner to try and get anything from the game.
Explain to me briefly in the Aberdeenshire Shield what exactly has happened between, is it Turriff and Cove?
Cove Rangers and Turriff United, they have been ordered to replay their Aberdeenshire Shield semi-final, and it's going to take place at a date yet to be determined at the neutral location of Harlow Park. Now, basically, this follows, originally Kevin Tindall's side won the Allen Park encounter 2-0. There were questions over the eligibility of Cove defender Mark Perry and Turriff sub-keeper John Willicks, who were both making their first appearances on their respective team sheets this season. Because of issues regarding those two, you know, they were ineligible. They shouldn't have been playing.
And, so the,
and the game's got to take place again.
And we don't know when yet. That's
no.
Basically so that Mark and John can't turn up.
Good Fred. Yes.
There'll be phone calls made hush-hush last minute. No one will call Mark, no one will call John. In the juniors, Dave.
In the PMAC group, Super League Banks Adair at home to Bankery St Tiernan. Hermes go to new league leaders Cooter. Devon side against FC Stonywood. East End versus Ellen United. Stonehaven, they travel to Holrus United, Longside against New Elgin, and Dice, whose manager Tom McPherson parted company amicably due to family reasons this week, they travel to Maud. In the PMAC Group First Division East, Buckenhaven Hearts entertain Glen Tanner, Colony Park against Cruden Bay, Lewis United are at Newmarket United, and at Heatherfold at Sunnybank versus Bridge of Don Thistle. In the First Division West, Bucky Rovers against Falkirkburn's Burkhead Thistle, at home to Forest Thistle, Inverness City. They travel to Islevale, and it's near St Ninian against White Hills. Couple of cup games in the Elginshire Refrigeration Cup quarter-final, Dufftown are at home to Port Gordon Victoria. And at the same stage, of the MTM Morrison Cup at Findon. It's Parkvale against Fraserburgh United.
13 minutes away from 7, you're on North Someone's Friday Sports. Still to come, ahead of In Demand with Stu at 7 o'clock, which at rugby and English football. That's next. Keep it North Someone's Friday Sports.
North Sound 1, the official station of the Dons. Keeping you up to date with the latest from Pittodrie. This is Friday Sport.
In England, it's a big weekend at both ends of the Premier League table. Chelsea, Arsenal and Liverpool could all pull ahead of Manchester City, who play in Sunday's League Cup final. Clubs at the bottom will also be hoping to capitalise on Sunderland's involvement in the match at Wembley. Adam Lindsay looks ahead to this weekend's action for North Someone's Friday Sport.
Chelsea manager Jose Mourinho has complained about his side's fixture schedule as they attempt to hold on to the top spot in the Premier League. They face a West London derby against Fulham just 3 days after they played a Champions League tie against Galatasaray in Turkey. Mourinho says other countries move games for teams in Europe to give players more time to recover.
These are questions that I think you should try people to answer. And I repeat, I'm nobody and my legs are fresh from the last match. I didn't sleep a lot, but my legs are fresh. For players it's different.
If Chelsea do slip up, Arsenal have the chance to finish the day top of the table. They go to Stoke. Manager Arsene Wenger says the title race will go right down to the wire.
Overall, it will be very tight, I hope, until the end. Because that means it will be interesting until the end, and that means as well that if you're consistent, you have a good chance to win it.
Elsewhere, Everton will be hoping to get their push for European qualification back on track against West Ham. Southampton aim to do the double over Liverpool, and Hull host Newcastle. Attention switches to the bottom of the table on Sunday. Cardiff will leapfrog Sunderland if they can win at Tottenham. Aston Villa host fellow strugglers Norwich, while Crystal Palace will go above Swansea if they beat them at the Liberty Stadium.
And so to that game where the first major trophy of the English season will be won on Sunday. Manchester City favourites to claim the League Cup when they face Sunderland in the final at Wembley. Here's Richard Newman.
It's a game between two teams with very different fortunes so far this season. Manchester City are fighting on four fronts. They're in the race to win the Premier League and the FA Cup too, but their Champions League hopes hang by a thread. City are the overwhelming favourites, but they were when they lost to Wigan in the FA Cup last season, and manager Manuel Pellegrini is hoping history doesn't repeat itself.
It's very beautiful to play a title in Wembley. It's very awful to lose it. I'm absolutely sure that all of them will be 100% motivated to win this time.
Sunderland are struggling in the Premier League and relegation is a real possibility, but their fortunes in cup competitions differs completely. They knocked out Manchester United on penalties in the semi-finals.
Saved by Manone. It is sensational for Sunderland and Gus Poyet. Another disaster for David Moyes and his Manchester United.
Sky Sports' Martin Tyler with the commentary. Sunderland are aiming to win their first major trophy since 1973, and the Wearsiders actually have a good record against City, having won their last two matches. But boss Gus Poyet says they're still going to need everything to go their way.
We need to be very good on the day. I'm sure it's not going to be needed too much motivation. It's one opportunity in a lifetime. So we see how we do.
It's definitely not a foregone conclusion, as Manuel Pellegrini aims for his first piece of silverware since taking over as City boss, but Sunderland have shown they can't be taken for granted.
Rugby in a big weekend for Aberdeen Grammar as they prepare to take on Melrose in the RBS Premiership, fighting for their lives in the top flight, but Kevin Wynne is buoyant.
I'm confident every week. I believe in our players. I mean, last week I took in a 17-year-old kid, Matthew Emerson, who's been playing for the Ellen Rugby Club. Gave him his debut. I hoped he'd only get 5 minutes. He ended up playing 30. He played 20 of those 30 in a team with 14 men due to yellow cards. And, you know, I'm confident in his ability. I'm confident of every player round about him, his ability. And I think last week the players themselves suddenly realised, well, you know, we can actually beat anyone on the day. You know, and you know, I really felt for the players on Saturday. I was really pleased for them.
Johnny Hayes scored two, Adam Rooney scored one, and Peter Pollitt scored one in that League Cup semi-final. Well done to Jim Stewart. Off to see Aberdeen against St Johnson tomorrow. Our weekend coverage, Dave.
Yeah, Jim's at Peterhead. We'll, of course, Andrew, Dave and myself will be at Pittodrie for Aberdeen against St Johnson. Come on, you Reds!